Let's go together in our copy of the Word of God of the little book of Jude again. And we're preaching verse by verse through this little epistle, believing probably there's no greater applicable book in the Bible for the day in which we live than this little book that is written just before the last book of your Bible, the book of the Revelation. And I think the things that are contained in it are true about the days just preceding the coming of the Lord. And I think if you would look at our world and look at what the Bible says about our day of apostasy and the falling away, you would agree with me with that, I would believe. And this is a small book, but it's packed. And we're not going to get in a hurry as we go through it. I think God wants these things spoken to every individual. The book of Jude, the Bible says in verse 1, we'll begin reading again. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I want to focus our attention on one little phrase in verse number 3. We've already dealt with verse number 1 and verse number 2. Verse 3, he says, beloved, and of course, if you've looked at the little epistle, you can see the threefold division, and you find the word beloved there in verse number 3. You find it again in verse 17, and then also again in verse number 20. But in verse number 3, he says, beloved, as he begins to write, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, of the common salvation. Now, the purpose that Jude intended upon when he took up pen and paper to begin to write this epistle was just to write about the common salvation. I mean, what else would we want to talk about? You know, we can talk about everything else, but isn't it wonderful to be able to talk about salvation? Who doesn't want to just focus on that? If you don't want to focus on that, then you're focused on the wrong thing. You know, the devil doesn't want saved people to think about their salvation. He certainly doesn't want lost people to think about salvation. And Jude said, I had every intention to spend my ink in this letter and my effort in this letter to just write to you about salvation. That's what I intended to do. But the Holy Ghost stopped him and had him write about something else. But before we go into that, of what the rest of the epistle is about, let's focus on what he's saying he wanted to write about. He wanted to write about, verse number 3, the common salvation. That's what he began to speak of in verse number 1 and verse number 2. He talks about salvation. He talks about how salvation is being sanctified by God the Father. He talks about how salvation, the wonderful thing of being preserved in Jesus Christ, of being called by God's own name, and to have mercy given to you by God, and to have peace given to you by God, and have love given to you by God. What a wonderful salvation that is. But we don't see the emphasis of those three things, of those things that we just mentioned. In verse 3, we see he uses a different phrase. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. I want to preach to you and talk to you for a moment about a common salvation. A common salvation. Now, when you say something is common, some people, you know, they, in our common lives that we live, you know, sometimes we think, well, that means there's nothing spectacular about it, or maybe it's dull or boring if something is common. But oh, how far from the truth that is. The first thing I want to say about this, that the common salvation is not just common. I'm thankful it is, and we'll get into what that means in just a moment. But It's much more than just common salvation, thank God it is. But if you don't have a salvation that is wonderful and magnificent, and if you're not excited about it, and if you're not thrilled about being saved, you may need to take another dose. You may need to, because it is a wonderful thing to be saved. And if you think that it's a boring thing to be saved, then either I doubt your salvation or you're so backslidden you don't even know you're saved. You know, there are people that get that way. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about those people. They never add to their faith. They never go on with God. And then they forgot that they're blind, and they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. There are some saved people that aren't not even as much count as a lost person, because their salvation is not making any difference in their life. So I want to say, if the Bible's boring to you, there's something wrong with you. There's not something wrong with the Bible. Amen. If church is boring to you, you've got a problem. There's not a problem in the church. There's a problem with you. If God is boring to you, if His truth is boring, if His salvation is boring to you, if you're just ho-hum, hey, you need something else in your life. Because salvation changes everything. And when I get up and say, it's wonderful to be saved, I'm not saying something political. I'm not saying something to fill space. It's a reality. And if it's not a reality with you, it's not God's fault. Guys, that's why we have an altar. Now, the people that need to use it a lot of times don't use it. But I tell you what, I would not come in and out of church and God and salvation and the Bible and the things of God be so boring to me without coming to God and say, God, help me, because your salvation is so much more than common. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 with me, will you? Because you can't, there are three things that God uses as adjectives, and he puts in front of the word salvation. It is common. We're going to get back to that. I'm not going to lose sight of where we're headed. But I want you to see, first of all, as we talk about the common salvation, it's also much more than just common, and it should be in your life. And if it's not, come to the Lord. Guys, we have got so many people in this world that look at saved people, and there is nothing in their life that attracts them to Christ. And this is what the Bible says about our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2, if you're saved, he says in verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so, what does he say? Great salvation. He didn't just say great. Have you ever walked up to somebody and said, how are you doing? And they said, great. Probably not too many times. It's great. But he didn't say it's just a great. He said it's so great. Do we live that way? Do others see that in our lives, that we have so great a salvation? It's the greatest thing in the world. There's no other life that's more satisfying. There's no other life that gives the mercy and the peace and the love and the acceptance with God and the sanctification with God and the preservation and the security and all of that. It is so great to be saved. If that is true, then why don't we live like that to a world? Because I tell you what, some people, by looking at some saved people, don't think it's a very great salvation. Amen. We can maybe have the pianist come to the piano player and give an invitation right there. Is your salvation great? Or is it, when do we get out? What's happening this week? You know, most people are more excited about their vacation than they are about their salvation. I'm telling you this morning, if you're saved, I don't know if you are or not, but if you're saved this morning, you have a great salvation. There is nothing that comes close to it. There is no other life that brings what God's salvation brings to you. And you ought to rejoice in it, and you ought to look at it. If the devil can't get your soul, he wants to get your joy. over a great, but it's not just a great salvation. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 5? In Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. Amen. Unto all them that obey him. I'm glad that I not only have a great salvation, but I have an eternal salvation. I'm not saved for a day. I'm not saved for a week. I'm not saved for a month or a year or just in this lifetime. I'm saved eternally. I have an eternal salvation. And if you don't have an eternal salvation, you don't have a salvation at all. God doesn't save people on part-time. God doesn't take out lease payments on our salvation. You don't have to turn it back in. Thank God. I have an eternal salvation. It'll never stop. So many people don't view, they have no view of eternity. And I'm telling you this morning, someday you're going to be somewhere forever. Do you have an eternal salvation or do you have eternal damnation? So salvation, we have a great salvation. We have an eternal salvation. And then our first. We have a common salvation. Why is that so important? Well, you take an old dictionary, get you an old 1828 Webster's dictionary, and you open it up and you turn to the word common. And this is the definition of the word common. It means universal. It means serving the general use of all. It means belonging to all. I'm glad I've got a common salvation in that it is not for a select group of people. It's common for everyone. It's available to everyone. It is common. It is for all. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter how wicked you are. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. It doesn't matter what continent you live on. I'm glad that God's salvation is a common salvation. If you breathe, you're a candidate for it. Thank God. It's available. And this is so wonderful and important as we read this. Because, look, this book is about apostasy. And we live, listen to me, I got to thinking about this the other day, and I just got so happy. We live in a day of apostasy, do we not? We live in a terrible day, a perverted day, a destructive day, a day where lives are ruined, and you turn around and all you see is just pain and suffering and the devil. But though we live in a day of apostasy, we also live in a day of salvation. Are you listening to me? You know what he says? He says, today is the day of salvation if you'll harden not your heart. As bad as it gets, the Lord is still standing in the shadows ready to save. As people turn away from God and humanity gets more godless, God says, I'm still here to save. I can save anybody, even in this day. I was on a plane, sometimes our vision gets mixed up in our heads about people. I don't believe anybody's too far outside of the grace of God. I think the common salvation can reach sinners, I really do. But sometimes when you go in our world, you look in our world and you say, man, there ain't no hope for these people. I was on a plane, here's this, whatever he was. In the middle of the aisle. He had an earring. He worked for the airline. He had an earring that came this far down. I thought, man, if I had one this big when I was a teenager, it'd got jerked right out of my ear by a real man in my house. Amen. People crazy. Then I sat down, and this lady, right over next, she crossed her leg, and from here down on her leg, I kid you not. Let me get my leg up here. From here down, she had a tattoo of a carrot. Of a carrot. That big. Orange. green top. And for a while, I just looked at that. What is wrong with people? And you know, I got off that plane and I started studying for the preaching that night. And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, you know, all you saw were the weirdness of these people. You didn't see the fact that I could save them. If we're not careful, we'll just write the whole world off like God doesn't have the power to save people. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, if He can save you, He can save them. Because this is a common salvation. It is available for all, even in the day of apostasy. In this wicked day, people are still getting saved. Amen. They're still getting saved. Because we have a common salvation that's still available. Not only is the common salvation available, it's common because we have a common Savior. In other words, there's not more than one. If you're saved, you'll have to find the only Savior because salvation is common to one man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and men. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This common salvation is common because it has a common Savior. It doesn't matter where you live. You've got to have the same Savior. You have no Savior at all. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. You know, even that devil-possessed woman in Acts chapter 16, when they were there at Philippi and they're preaching, she follows them and she says, these are the servants of the Most High God that show unto us the way of salvation. It's only one way. There aren't many ways. It's the common salvation. You don't get to God your way and I get to God my... That's the lie of the world and the lie of the religion and the lie of the devil. We have a common salvation. And if you don't have the same kind of salvation I have, you're not saved at all. Are you listening? It's not your salvation and then mine and those people over there. No. It's a common salvation. With a common Savior. With the same Savior, the same grace. The Bible tells us the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. It's the same grace. The world says, no, well, you know what, I'm glad. It's not a Baptist salvation, it's a common salvation. I'm a Baptist. I've been a Baptist. I was a Baptist before I was born. That's true. The little lady over here, she took me to church before I was born, to an independent Baptist church. But I had to be born again. And it wasn't a Baptist salvation. It was a common salvation. It's not a Catholic salvation or Presbyterian salvation or a Methodist salvation. No, it's a common salvation. There's only one way. And it's all by the same Savior and the same grace of God. How unjust would God be if He let one into heaven for one reason and another into heaven for another reason? It's a common salvation with the same method. Somebody says, well, you know, we all find our way to God in different ways. Oh, no, you don't. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you don't believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, then you don't have the common salvation. That's the way we all get in. We all come with repentant hearts to God and open up our hearts to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same method. And there's some people, well, I just wish there was another way. I could trust it more. There's just one way. It's a common salvation. You got saved just like I did. You may have been a different age, a different place, a different time. Maybe you weren't in church. Maybe you were by yourself. Maybe you were with a group of people. But if you got saved, you had to get saved the same way I got saved. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It has the same result, really, eternally. He says, verily, verily, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That happens to all of us in this common salvation. I say it's a common salvation because it has a common Savior. The next thing I want to say, would you listen to me? It's a common salvation because it's for common people. Now you say, preacher, that's left unsaid. No, 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 it's not left unsaid. Would you look at Mark chapter 12, please? There's a big, big point I'm fixing to make. You know, there's a lot of people that will never get saved because they will never see themselves as part of the common people. Follow me now. Mark chapter 12, the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, look at verse number 37. Jesus is in the temple teaching. And Mark 12, 37, the Bible says this, David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? He's preaching in the temple here. And the Bible says, look at your verse 37, and the common people, you see that? The common people heard him gladly. Just ordinary people. You know who didn't listen to him? The big shots. They didn't listen to him. You remember over there, way back there in the Old Testament, where David comes into the temple, he's running from Saul, and he's hungry, and he goes in there, and he asks the priest for some bread. And the priest says, there's no bread here but hallowed bread, special bread. It's bread they put on the table of showbread, you see. He said, but we're changing it out, and there is some bread over here that is in a manner common. Come here. What he's saying is the special bread, listen to me, the special bread, the hallowed bread, the holy bread is on the table. And it's not for you. But if we can find some common bread, you can have the common, the bread that's just ordinary. Can I tell you this morning, this is going to offend some of the crowd out there. I'm sure everybody here will be fine with it. But there is nothing special about you. Now, you're not going to get that in psychology class. You're not going to get that in the educational system. And you're not going to get that with 80, 90% of any religious sermon or place that you go to. But I'll tell you right now, there is nothing special about you. Because if there were, you would not be a candidate for God's salvation. It's just for common people. Do you understand what I just said? Listen to what Jesus said. I am not come to call the righteous. He said, I'm not even here for those people that think they're the hallowed bread. I'm not even here for the people that think they're so special. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to save important people or special people. He came in the world to save common people. And I know what you're thinking. Well, we're all commoners, and we all are, and we're all sinners, and we all are. But everybody didn't see themselves that way. You got the same sins as everybody else. And that's so important to see in a day of apostasy, because you look at the world, you'll look at their sin, and you'll forget you're a commoner too. Amen, friend. There's something special about you. Ain't nothing special about you. If you're saved by the grace of God, the only thing special about you is the one who lives inside of you. The Apostle Paul, that was more spiritual than any of us will ever get. Amen. That wrote the Bible, that did miracles of God. That the Bible says, he said by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, in me dwelleth no good thing. He counted himself as a common person. I'm glad Jesus comes for the common people. Boy, we have a world that's telling people how special they are instead of how common they are. We have the same, everything about humanity is just so common. Sometimes people don't look at themselves that way. We all have to bathe. We all smell. We all have the same bodily functions.
And then you got these people that think they're big shots, that they're, those are the people that'll never get saved. God doesn't save big shots. He saves common people. Are you listening to me? It's a common salvation. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's nobody that goes in pompously. There's nobody that comes in with their robes. It's a common salvation because it's for common people. No special, no people that are more important than anybody else. Thank God for that. We witness to Americans, and Americans are just like Romanians. We witness to Navajos, and you're just like the Navajos. We go take the gospel to Africa, you're just like they are. It's common people. And Jesus says, if you'll see yourself that way in a common condemnation and come to me. Doesn't Jude set that example for us? We already talked about that. He could have claimed to be an apostle. He could have claimed to have been a half-brother of Jesus Christ. And all he says is, I'm just a servant. I'm just a common man trying to live for Jesus and please him. May we never get over the common salvation. Probably one of the angriest I've ever been as a pastor is when I had a deacon up in Virginia that looked across the table from me and said, preacher, we're bringing in another class of people into this church. What class of people are you? You see the problem? And I'm telling you, when we live in this day of apostasy, if we're not careful, we will be selective to where we want to take the gospel. And it's a common salvation for common people. And then it's a common salvation because it's for common problems. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? You know, I know sometimes you want to look at your problems as being unique to you, but that's not true. Saved or lost. The Apostle Peter told us that. He said the same afflictions that you're going through happen to your brethren all around the world. You know, one of the attacks of the devil upon our heart and minds is letting us think that nobody has it like I've got it. Hey, your problems are very common. The human experience has common problems. How do you know that? It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. The things that tempt you are the things, same things that tempt everyone. The sins that you have, we have common sin. We have common temptation. We have common problems. We have a common death. We're all going to die. You see the commonness? It doesn't matter if somebody is a king or a political figure or rich or poor. They all die the same. We have the same sin and the same problem. But this is the great thing about God's salvation. It can overcome that commonality of problems. It can meet the need. You say, what about the individual that has something in their past they can never get over? There's somebody else that had that too. There's somebody that got saved out of that just like you can get saved out of that. Yeah. But the devil said, no, but nobody's ever experienced it. Oh, that's a lie. It's a common problem that we all have in our humanity. And it's rooted in our own depravity, our own sin nature, and this cursed world. We're all in the same boat. And God says, because of that, I'm going to offer all of you a common salvation. Whew. What a blessing. And then, it's a common salvation, lastly, because it does produce a common result. Would you go to the book of Acts chapter 2? And as you're turning to Acts chapter 2, I'll quote to you what Paul said to Titus. He said in Titus chapter 1, he calls Titus my own son in the common faith. We have a common faith. And that's what he's going to talk about here as he goes through the book of Jude, how we should earnestly contend for that faith because we all have the same faith. Because when we get saved, there is a commonness that results. Would you look at your Bible with me, please, in Acts chapter 2, in verse number 41. Look at all these people that got saved. What a wonderful verse. The Bible said in Acts 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a blessing. 3,000 people get saved. That'd shake up things. And it did. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things what? Do you see that? All of them. Because they all believed the same Savior. They all had been changed by God. They all had the same faith. They all had the same baptism. They all had the same future desire. They were all in the same church. And they had all things common. Drop down to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then some more people get saved. Well, what happens with all that? The more they add, do they have a different crowd? Does it have a different result? Look at chapter 4. More people continue to get saved. Chapter 4 of the book of Acts, Acts 4 verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed, look at it, were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things, what? Common. If you have more in common with people outside of the church and outside of the grace of God, maybe you have never visited the common salvation. All that believe, they had one heart. And in this day of apostasy, what we see people claiming to be Christians, but are agreeing with people on social media and out in the world that are God deniers and God haters and Bible rejectors, and they're agreeing with them. I tell you what, there is nothing that you should have in common with that world. But this is what the devil tries to get you to have things in common. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just don't have anything in common with them? Well, then you need to change who you are. Amen. You know, when I got married, there were some things that I didn't like that I had to start liking. Y'all, don't get quiet there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got problems. There's some things that in my wife's life that she was used to that she had to get in common with. Because that's what life's about. You know why I'm glad when I got saved? God changed me, and now I have things in common with God. I love what he loves. I hate what he hates. And I'm telling you, if you don't have things in common with God's people and people that love the Bible, if you are more at home with people that don't live by the Bible, I'm wondering, have you ever taken part in this common salvation? Because we're interested in Jesus, and we're interested in the gospel, and we love the Bible. And we want to do right. You get people on the internet say, you know, if you ought to have about as much in common with sodomite-loving people and sodomite behavior as you do with a rhinoceros. There's just nothing common there. You ought to have about as much in common with the woke crowd as you do with sea monsters and UFOs. It don't match. But when somebody talks about Jesus, and when somebody wants to go spread the gospel, and when somebody talks about missions, and when somebody wants to pray, and when somebody wants to go to prayer meeting, and when somebody wants to make a difference in their society and hold a scripture sign or sing songs of God, you say, oh, that's my jive. I get that. I got something in common with them. You hear what I'm preaching this morning?
We live in an apostate world, and it just might be that some people that have so much in common with people that don't know God never came to the common salvation. We're supposed to have one heart. Did you see that in the Bible? One heart. One mind. And even our junk is supposed to be in common. Did you see what they said? Nobody even in that early church, none of them, all those thousands and thousands of people. You say, what do you own? I don't own nothing. It just all belongs to. It's all in common. If you have a need, then what I have is yours. If I have a need, what you... Is that getting sort of strange on people? That's how they lived. Because now they have a common family and common goals and common beliefs and a common heart and a common mind. And they think alike. I've been told, I don't know, I hope it not for my wife's sake. I have been told that the longer people stay married, they even start looking alike. Anybody heard that? They just start becoming one. Everything just starts molding its way in. Wouldn't it be good if we all looked alike? Someone said, no, that would be weird. I'm not talking about your face. Wouldn't it be good if we were all had the same commonality? That's what salvation is supposed to do. You ought to thank God for a common salvation. That means that you can have a part. You ought to thank God for a common Savior and a common faith that we have and a common life that we are to live. And if you don't have that tonight or this morning, if you don't have that, even in this wicked day, even with wherever you are, your past is no different than anybody else's past that's sitting in here. And Jesus says, come, just like he told us to come. Why don't we get to a common Savior?